This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association and Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program. My name's Frank Rossi. I'm the Extension Turf Specialist here at Cornell University, and the following Shortcut Podcast is for the week of July 6, 2015. Well, the toughest 6 to 8 weeks of the growing season are upon us. Increasing evening temperatures adequate to excessive soil moisture, persistent humidity and showery conditions, and high levels of traffic from turf use and turf maintenance all conspire to establish a baseline of stress expected for the next 6 to 8 weeks. At this time of year, water management is most critical. If you are not using a soil moisture meter, especially on putting surfaces, you are increasing your risk of failure. Any failure to supply adequate amounts of water, if your turf holds water at the surface, expects many stress-induced issues such as basal rot, anthracnose, and summer patch to become more challenging. At the same time, persistent leaf wetness from rainfall, humidity, or poor air movement will lead to increases in foliar diseases such as dollar spot, brown patch, and pythia. Now is not the time to attempt to extend spray intervals or reduce traditional preventative or curative rates. With so much stress abound, minimizing disease stress is critical. Weed populations having expanded due to the early season dry condition that weakened desirable turf as well as voids in turf unable to be filled from seed or failed sod from poor irrigation and no rainfall. Some post-emergent crabgrass control can still be effective if you have actively growing desirable turf in place. It seems even dense turf areas have their share of crabgrass. Same would be true for any broadleaf weed control that is not recommended at this time of year, as leaves establish thicker cuticles, making herbicide penetration more difficult. Plan for late summer and early fall treatments. And a brief weather update. A cooler than normal week at 2 to 6 degrees below normal temps from south to north. However, slight heat stress continued along the I-95 corridor as evening lows remained in the low 70s. We remain 3 to 7 days ahead of normal and on par with last year. Soils are consistently in the upper low to mid-70s north to as much as mid-80s to the south. Widespread 1 to 2 inch rainfall amounts with few areas of 3 to 4 inches continuing to trend of locally heavily events this season. ET was unusually low for this time of the year with only 0.6 to 0.75 inches of water lost. The drought map areas are shrinking, however, the early season deficits still leaving many behind for the year to date. And the forecast for the coming week, a spectacular weekend for most in the Northeast, will persist into the Tuesday-Wednesday period, bringing some drier weather. No widespread rainfall expected, but showery through the end of the week. Expect high disease risk to persist with lots of moisture in the environment. Longer term, calling for warm, dry conditions, and you can check all our weather information at our forecast website, weather information for the turfgrass professionals. A few regional clips from our extension collaborators starts with Vicki Wallace from the University of Connecticut. Turf responding nicely to increased rainfall in southeastern Connecticut. Reminder of glyphosate tolerance in certain hard and sheep's fescues. From Westchester, Jerry Giordano, herbicide injury to ornamentals from broadleaf weed control in a Westchester landscape, crabgrass and red thread obvious. Walt Nelson in western New York, widespread thinning of ryegrass sports fields from red thread invasion in western New York and crabgrass is surging. And Professor Nick Menchik from SUNY Farmingdale reports that lawn irrigation systems continuing to run in wet weather, red thread and weedy out-of-play areas on Long Island. And a note about the value of NYSTA membership. You know, NYSTA has been sponsoring our shortcuts since the very beginning. And just a note about the value of the membership of that organization. Turfgrass managers in New York State face many challenges, especially at this time of year when stresses abound. Our ability as an industry to remain committed to education and research lies at the heart of our success during these stressful times. Products and practices that we use every day, especially at this time of year, come from the research you fund, the educational resources such as Shortcut that you fund, and workshops and field days where you gather and network with your colleagues. This is far from most everyone's minds as we manage these next 6 to 8 weeks of stress, but don't forget it is your commitment to our statewide association as well as your support for your local association that makes this all possible. NYSTA and Cornell University have been partners in research and education for over 50 years, and moving into the future for more researchers resources such as pest guideline updates, new Cornell Turfgrass website features, research updates at NYSTA conference, and support of the golf BMPs. The BMPs, that is a bold statement of our collective commitment to protecting water quality in New York. It has never been more important or a better time to be part of NYSTA, available on the web at www.nysta.org. And finally, our questions for the week. I started to notice dollar spot breakthrough in a number of fairways, tees, and putting greens. Is there a good IPM approach to managing dollar spot? Dollar spot is one of the most common foliar diseases found in cool season golf turf. Long associated with low nitrogen levels, there are now an array of maintenance practices recommended to reduce the incidence and severity of dollar spot. Often dollar spot pressure is worse when a dry period is followed by wet conditions, including heavy dew. Dew removal and general disruption of leaf wetness through air movement are effective at reducing dollar spot pressure. Furthermore, rolling of turf on a regular basis also has been found to reduce dollar spot. Nitrogen levels have been investigated for their role in dollar spot, and it has been shown that rates required to prevent dollar spot are much higher than would be recommended for turf growth. Also, many use nitrogen to help recover from any breakthrough that occurs. In fact, studies have shown Primo can reduce dollar spot, but if dollar spot infestations break through normal control programs, that Primo can extend period when damage will be visible. When chemical control is required, we recommend using a predictive model, such as the one we developed for the Forecast website, and now a new Smith-Kearns model is available from UW-Madison. Once risk is for disease is high, selecting reduced risk products such as using the EIQ can provide effective control and minimize environmental impact. And our final question for the week, I've installed a tall fescue Kentucky bluegrass sod. It has been great the last two seasons. I've noticed some brown patch becoming active. Any recommendations? The warming climate in the Northeast over the last two decades, combined with a sea change of improvements, has allowed many to switch to turf-type tall fescues with great success. Many important improvements in tall fescue have been made specifically to enhance brown patch resistance. However, if there are less resistant varieties in a stand, or if environmental conditions such as prolonged leaf wetness, especially on high-cut turf, persists, brown patch symptoms will be visible. Often, if conditions change from drying weather or improved air movement, the symptoms will wane with little thinning. If conditions do not improve, consider reduced risk fungicides such as polyoxin D, sold as a firm, that are highly effective, can allow tall fescue to avoid thinning. Be sure in the future to select the most disease-resistant varieties such as Cochise, Falcon 5, Shenandoah 3, Speedway, Spider, Turbo, and Van Gogh. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association and the Cornell University Turfgrass Science Program. I'm Frank Rossi here in the College of Agriculture in the School of Integrative Plant Sciences at Cornell University, and I hope you have a wonderful week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.